It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we do believe that. Lord, we believe that your word is life-changing. And I believe this morning that as I minister your word today, that it will do just that. It will empower us, and it will give us the strength we need to bring about the changes so that we can experience the goodness of God, the good things, God, that you have planned for every one of us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to be wrapping up our series entitled, God is Good All the Time. And I want to wrap up this series today with a message entitled, I'm Doing Good. Now think about this. If God is good all the time, then really we should be able to say at any time, I'm doing good. I'm doing good because we serve a good God. Regardless of what may be going on, we can still declare, I'm doing good. Because I know that God is working it out. If it's not good already, he's working it out. And even while God is working out good in my life, I can be doing good in someone else's life. So we can always declare, I'm doing good. Now, today, just before we get into that message, I want to go back again and read Psalm 100, which has been our foundational or our text scripture throughout this series. And here's Psalm 100, verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Now, if we're going to receive God's goodness in our life, then we've got to believe the principles that Psalm 100 declares. And Psalm 100 declares this. Psalm 100 declares that God is good, that he always does good, that he is good to everyone, and he is good to me. Listen, it's not based on our character, and it's not based on what we have or we haven't done, but it is based on the goodness of God. It's based on who he is, not on who we are. God is good all the time. Now, let's talk today about I'm doing good. Go with me, if you will, to Psalm 37 and verse 3. Psalm 37 verse 3 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. The writer of Psalms here describes what doing good looks like. And when I'm using this term doing good in this particular way, I'm talking about doing well in life. And he describes it as living safely and prospering in the land that you're living in. How many of you know? Being safe and doing well is doing good. Living in safety and prospering. That's a description of that place that you can live in. You see, the Bible teaches us that we can live in a place where we can constantly declare, I'm doing good. I'm safe and I'm prospering. In fact, really what God says in this scripture through the writer of Psalms here is God is saying, trust me, do good, and then just sit back and watch good things happen. Come on, trust me, do good, and then watch good things happen. What I want to teach you out of this verse today is I want to teach you what I believe this verse tells us. And that is that it's a two-step process to doing good. And here's the two steps. Trust God, do good. Trust God, do good. Now, how many of you know one comes before two? Very simple, but very powerful when we're looking at these two steps. The first step in doing good, doing well in your life and living in the land safely and prospering in the land that you live in, trust God. first things first. You know, if you have kids in school, maybe even in college like we do, you know what you got to say? If you want a good grade on that exam, you got to study first. First things first. You know, if you want a paycheck, then you got to work all week. First things first. If you want the blessings of God on your finances, then tithe first. Listen, if you want to start some good things in your life, trust God first. That's the first step to those good things happening. Maybe you need some good things in your marriage, in your finances. Come on, some good things can start happening, and the way they happen is you trust God. In fact, we could just say it this way, and that is, we aren't going to do good if we don't trust God first. Now, let me take you to another passage of scripture that teaches us just that truth about trust. And it's found in Psalm, once again in Psalms, but this time in Psalm 34:10. Psalm 34:10, it says, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. He's saying here again, trust is the foundation of a good life. He's saying that the start of every good thing is always, always, come on, the start of every good thing is always trust God. Oh, you're catching on. He teaches us too in this passage that no matter how strong we are, and it refers to a strong young lion who certainly is capable of going out and catching a prey. But he said, even sometimes those strong young lions do without. He said, but those who trust in the Lord, they won't lack any good thing. You see, we need to also ask ourselves today, where's our trust? Where have we placed our trust? Perhaps if we're lacking some good things in our life, or maybe just in some areas of our life. How many of you know you can trust God in one area of your life and not trust God in another area? For whatever reason, it seems like some people can just believe God when it comes to physical healing. That they see God as a healer, but then those same people may have a little bit more of a challenge when it comes to believing God financially. Maybe it's based on experience that they've had. Who knows why? There's certain circumstances that may add to that. But today we need to ask ourselves if we are missing or if we are in lack of some good things that we need to live, then maybe we've misplaced our trust. What good thing are you missing today? What good thing do you need in life? Maybe you're missing some strength. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's provision in some way, whether it's financial or maybe it's an opportunity in your career. What good thing are you missing today? And if you are in lack, then now we know the remedy for that lack, and it's trust God, because you want to be able to declare all the time, and you should have a right in Christ to be able to declare, I'm doing good. Yes. So where's your trust? We've all misplaced things around the house. And how many of you know, as long as they're misplaced, they're not any good. You're missing out. I can't text who I need to text or call who I need to call if I've misplaced my phone. I can't leave the house if I've misplaced my keys. I can't see the TV if I've misplaced my glasses. Jeff says, look at that. Well, hold on. Let me find my glasses. Are there some things that really... you just are missing them in life because you've misplaced your faith. You've put it somewhere. You've misplaced your trust. It's in someone or something other than God. The strong young lion, are you relying on your own strength? I have a pretty strong personality, or so people have told me. And so sometimes I can be tempted to rely on my own strength, like I'm a get-it-done person. I mean, you give me a checklist, I can knock it off. You know, it's like, that's to me, that's a win in a day. If I have 15 things on my checklist and I get all 15 of them done, it's a good day. How many know life has a way of throwing us curves? If we're going to be able to say and live in a place where we can say and declare I'm doing good, we're going to need to put our trust in the Lord. So let's define trust. And in defining trust, I want to go back to the Hebrew word and define that Hebrew word that was used in the first scripture that I shared with you this morning from Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. That word trust there literally means to be careless. It means to be confident, to be secure. Now, when I say to be careless, I don't mean to be foolish. You're like, oh, you were careless about that. No, it means to be carefree. It means to be free from the burden and the weight of things in your life that you care about. But listen, you can't solve it, so don't carry that care. Don't carry it in your mind or in your thoughts. Don't speak about it in a way that it's a problem. No, talk to God about it. Rejoice. Come on, careless. That's one of the ways that we put our trust in God, is that we trust Him. And so therefore, we don't take care. We don't take the burden. Now listen, we all know that burden's going to try to come on you all day long. I didn't say that if you trusted God that the care wouldn't try to come on you. It'll try to come on you through your thought life. You'll just have this thought, what am I going to do? The devil will say to you, your enemies or somebody else, a good friend will call, what are you going to do? Trust God. Listen, if you don't know what to do, if God hasn't told you what to do, then you know what to do. That's trust Him until He gives you something specific that you need to do. Until then, I trust God. I trust God. He'll tell me if there's something I need to do. I trust God. He'll strengthen me. He'll give me the patience I need to wait on. Come on, trust God. It also defines trust as being secure and being confident. I didn't say you would feel secure. I didn't say you would feel confident. Listen, there's sometimes I haven't felt the least bit confident, but I just got up, and because I trusted God, just I confidently declared some things. And people are like, oh, wow, she's got confidence. No, I've got trust. I know in whom I have believed. There's a scripture in the New Testament. And I am convinced that He is able. You see, when we put our trust in God, we're declaring that we believe God is faithful. We not only believe that God is faithful, we believe that He's reliable. And we believe that He has the ability. How many of you know if God had the ability to help us, but He wasn't reliable or He wasn't willing, that could be a problem. You see, because this morning there are people who have the ability to pay off my mortgage. But they're not willing. The people have the ability to pay off the mortgage of our church, but they're not willing. So their ability, while I can acknowledge their ability, but their ability is not the problem. It's their willingness. We see you don't have that problem with God. Did you hear me this morning? You don't have that problem with God. He is willing to use His ability on your behalf. Another word for that is grace. God's grace. God doing for us. Oh, this is good. I'm glad I came to church. It's God's ability to do things on our behalf that we neither earned nor do we deserve. But He is willing and He does it. But we've got to trust that that's the kind of God He is, that He is good. Trust in His goodness. Trust in His reliability. And then when it comes to trust, and in fact, let me just mention this real quickly. If you can put up that other definition for trust, and that's this definition of trust that we saw in this verse where it says that we just read the verse in Psalm 34:10 about the young lions. This word trust is in other translations translated fear. New Living decided to translate it trust, and I believe that's an appropriate, either one appropriate, but the word fear has to do with worship. So we see that a part of trusting God is also worshiping. In fact, I should say this, unless you worship God, unless you acknowledge who he is, you won't be able to trust him. This word trust here, a positive feeling of awe or reverence for God expressed in worship. Listen, I can't emphasize this enough. If your feelings toward God, if your attitude toward him is not positive, you need to change that now. How do you change it? You get into the Word of God. You begin to read about his character. You begin to see his expression of his love toward you in sending Christ. You talk to yourself about it. You read about it. You get around other people who've experienced his goodness. And you begin to worship him. Worship is a part of trust. When you worship God, you're saying, God, I trust you. And listen, all of you are trust people. Those of you that have followed Christ, you trusted God with your eternity. Can't you just trust him for one day? Here's the thing you need to know about trust, too, and I got to get on to doing good, but it all begins with trust. But here's the other thing you got to know about trust. Trust grows, and you need to grow your trust. Listen, I trust God more today than I did when I first started following him. And here's why. Because of monkey bars. Can you put up the monkey bar picture? And I'll explain this, of course. How many of you know that the way to get to the other side, anybody remember monkey bars when you were little? I don't even know if they still have them today. Kids could, you know, kind of fall, so they probably don't. We're living more of a suing society. But good old monkey bars. How do you get across? One bar at a time. Listen, how does your trust in God grow? You trust him for something. You don't have to trust him for everything at once. Just trust him in some area of your life. That's good. Come on. Some of you today, here's your word that God has for you today. In some area of your life, some of you let go of the bar. And right now, you just need to reach back up and just say, God, I trust you. Just reach out. And put your hand up there and say, God, I trust you. And then when you feel how sturdy that bar is, come on, then you can put up the other hand. And listen, then once you trust God and you're there on that bar, then you can reach out to the next bar. And you may even stay like this for a while, but pretty soon, this is me. I was younger. Come on. Listen, then pretty soon you've skipped a bar. I mean, you're like, God, I got this. Yeah. Going from faith to faith, from trust to trust. But some of you today need to get back on the monkey bars. This is good. I'm doing good. It's good because it's the Word of God. Now listen. Let's now talk about step two. Listen, you got to get step one down, trust God. But then, once you trust God, then it says, do good. Now, when I'm talking about doing good this morning, I'm going to kind of talk about two sides of the same coin. Obviously, we know that in the scripture in Psalm that we read to begin with, trust God and do good, he's really talking about action and behavior. But also in the light of this series and what we're learning about the goodness of God, he's also talking about the goodness of God in our life, that we really should be doing good as followers of Christ. And if we're not doing well in our own life, if the goodness of God can't be seen in our own life, then how can we really sow into someone else's life? And so I want to read you a passage of scripture, and I want to look at the two sides of this doing good. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. How he says we are to show others God's goodness. In other words, our life ought to reflect what Christ has done for us. The peace we have. Our marriage. The joy we have. I'm not saying that our life or our marriage or our finances need to be perfect. But I'm saying that we should have perfect peace. I'm saying that we should be people of integrity because we serve a God that's a God of integrity. I'm saying that we ought to have joy in the midst of a storm because we believe God is the master and can still any storm and that we serve him. Come on, we ought to reflect the goodness of God. And then because our lives are filled with the goodness of God, because we are doing good, then we can do good. Then we can share his goodness with someone else. I love what I heard John Maxwell say a couple of years back. We were in a conference with him, and he works in the corporate world and is with a lot of people that don't know Jesus. And he says to them often, because they like gravitate toward him because of the goodness of God in his life, and they may be sharing a problem, a situation in their life, you know, usually family member, brokenness, and he just looks at them and he says this: I wish you had my peace. And then you know what they say? I want your peace. And he said, now listen, because he's usually at a conference, maybe, you know, leading a conference that's a business conference. So he's respectful. And he said, now listen, this is a business conference. And if you want me to talk about my peace, I'm going to have to go outside the business realm. They say, oh, I need peace. And he said, then peace comes through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Come on. Do we have the goodness of God in our life? Do people want the life we have? I'm not talking about the money you have. I'm not talking about the car you drive, the house you live in. I'm talking about, do they want what you have? Listen, our world is in need of peace and joy. They are in need of forgiveness. Listen, goods and accomplishments can take you on a ride for a while, but it will be a roller coaster ride. Oh, it'll take you to the top. Come on, take you to the top. But how many of you know when you're on a roller coaster, when you get to the top, you start getting anxious because you know what's coming? You're going down. And do you know that's what happens to people without Jesus? Because when they get to the top of their game, they find out that it wasn't what they wanted all along, that it doesn't meet the need they have inside of a relationship with God, real peace, real joy. Now, roller coasters can be pretty long. I mean, you know, there could be some fun turns, and you see, some of you see some of those unbelievers out there on their little roller coaster ride, and they're making those turns, got their hands up, woo! And you're like, God, look at them. They ain't even serving you. And then you see them climbing to the top. God, look at that. Are you doing good? The goodness there in that scripture when he says, show forth the goodness of God. That word goodness literally means excellencies. Any excellence of a person or a thing, an eminent endowment or quality, an outstanding feature or quality. You see, when you show forth the goodness of God in your life, you're showing the excellencies of God. You're showing his qualities of peace and joy, security, confidence, stability. Are you doing good? Is the goodness of God in your life? Are you walking in the light of what Christ has done for you? Our good lives and the goodness of God in our lives show forth his excellencies. That's how we can say, even when things aren't going well, I'm still good. I'm doing good. Today, even in the midst of my tragedy, in the midst of my pain, I'm doing good. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to show forth the excellencies of God. I mean, even when I just blew it, I can show forth the excellencies of God because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I have a humble spirit. I did wrong. I admit that I did wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and live my life. I tell you what, there's nothing like being bold enough to get over condemnation, shame, and guilt. And just believe God and go for it. Now, here's the other side of that, though. Our lives are doing good, but we need to do good works. I want to go back to Psalm 37, 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. That word good literally means, or really, I want to take do good. Of course, the word do means to accomplish, to labor, to work. And the word good means to be fruitful, kind, excellent, lovely, beneficial. It may refer to practical or economical benefits. In other words, that means sometimes you do something practical for somebody. Sometimes you may give them some money. Yeah, did you hear me that? Sometimes you may give them some money and help them. Maybe you can't pay their whole rent, but maybe you can pay their grocery bill. Maybe you can't take care of the whole project here at Faith Life Church. Or you can't give the whole amount of the square footage of the courtyard, but you can take $15 and you can give it. You can take $150. Listen, what can you do? You got to do good. Listen, if you want to be able to say I'm doing good, then you got to do some good things, because God's been good to you. You need to be good to others. Share the goodness. It's not about how you feel. Now, a lot of us want the good things that Christ has done in our life, but doing the good deeds sometimes is a little harder. So I just want to read real quickly here a couple of passages that deal with doing good works or good deeds. Listen to Matthew 5:16. It says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Wow. You see, what you do should turn people's hearts to God. When we help send those supplies to the Bahamas, we're not coming down there with our Bible only. We're coming in the name of the one whose story is in the Bible, and we're coming with our hands filled with what they need right now to meet their needs, our good works. How about James 3:13? If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with a humility that comes from wisdom. Now listen, do your good works with a little humility. Not like, hey, everybody, did you see what I did? Yeah, I did that. He said, do you understand God's ways? You see, isn't that what God did? Didn't God do good for us before we ever did anything good for him? His good work in Christ, the giving of the Savior, Jesus, his good work in the cross and the resurrection, he's done us good. Oh, man. Now we can do good to others. How about 1 Timothy? Oh, can I get some water? 1 Timothy 6:18, it says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And let me just say this. Listen, just be ready. If God wants you to do something, put aside some money. Start a giving account. Don't always spend everything you have and give. Listen, make sure you have some room to give. Let me mention these two things. I got a lot here to deliver in just a minute. How do you start with being good? I just want to throw this in here right now, just as a way to, I need to do some good things, but how do I start? Talk about a good beginning. Hebrews 10:24 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. If you want to start something good, then it begins by just thinking. How about taking some time today to think about doing good, and then also motivate someone else to do good? Ask them to join you. Maybe ask somebody at work this week to say, my church is, you know, given to the Bahamas. Anybody want to give, you know, make a church? We promise you'll get there. We'll bring you back pictures. Motivate them to do good. But are you thinking about it? It starts with your thoughts. How about thinking about doing something good for somebody instead of just thinking about your problem and what's going on? Think about it. And then how about your words? 1 Peter 3:10, it says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." Are you speaking good things? You know, you could just start some good today. Instead of starting an argument, how about starting something good? Saying something good over your spouse or to your spouse. Saying something good to your children. Calling your friend and telling them the good news of the gospel. Come on, your words, do good. If we want to feel good, and so often, man, we want that good feeling. Well, if you want to feel good, then think good thoughts, speak good words, and do good deeds. So no matter how you feel, you can always declare, "I'm doing good. I'm doing good." And let me close with this. I want to take you to a scripture that really promises all of us today, promises that we have God's strength and that we can do good. We can live in that place where we can always declare, "I'm doing good." And that is because we were made for good. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Once again, that passage speaks of so many things about doing good. God has planned good things for you in your life in Christ Jesus. And God has also planned for you to do some good things. You can experience the good God has for you in your life, and you can do the good things because you are God's masterpiece. You have been made for good in Christ Jesus. Amen? So what are we going to do? Trust God and do good. Did you get something out of that? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads today as we close out this service. Lord, we are just so thankful for your goodness. Can we just take a moment?